Hello and welcome to episode 96 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, brought to you from the front lines of the console wars. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And in this episode, we'll be weighing in on the current state of things in console gaming. But first, we'll count our battle scars collected over the previous week with our Geekly Weekly, Weekly Geekly update. Brian, what have you been up to in the last week, sir?
The Adventure Game Store finally got in the organized play packet for Star Wars. What is that game called, man? It's not called Star Wars. It's called X-Wing Miniatures, isn't it?
That is correct, yes.
So they got in the organized play for that, and we kind of had our little informal first meeting. A bunch of guys showed up and played unorganized games, and now we're ready to go forward with the actual being a part of it. So I'm kind of excited about that. I've been a part of those things before, but I've never actually been, like, you know, organizer or preparer for it. That's kind of neat. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, and the Adventure Game Store is, of course, one of our, probably our number one gaming haunt for tabletop gaming in our Fort Lauderdale area.
Definitely lately, yeah. We haven't been anywhere else.
Cool.
And I had a lot of fun. Some of you may have seen it on Instagram. I was at the Mad Hatter's Tea Party in Fort Lauderdale, the Stranahan House where I volunteer on occasion, put on that. It was a lot of fun. I got to hang out with Alice and alternate Alice and Cheshire and Mad Hatter and Octogenarian. Hang on a second. What's the fucker name? Octogenarian Queen of Hearts and Tweedledum and Tweedledee. A lot of good fun that day. That was neat.
That's cool. So an Alice in Wonderland themed event at the Stranahan House, which is what, like a museum, and it's like the oldest house in our fair city.
Yeah, it's a Victorian house, and it's a museum. You know, you get to go through all the old butter churns and blah blah blah. And it was a fundraiser. You know, it was like a little kids tea party. So all the girls were dressed up as princesses, and they got to sip their tea and eat their little cakes, and the characters showed them around and talked to them in character. Alice was amazing. Alice just had such a – she never broke character all day long.
Very cool.
Killer. And that was kind of it. That was my week.
Awesome, man. Well, I have been basically playing some video games. I finally beat the game Dishonored, which is part of my last-gen catalog that I'm trying to work through. Great game. You should play it. It's sort of in the vein of Thief, if you remember that old series of games, kind of the first-person sneaking around kind of game. You can play more aggressively and murder a bunch of people, but I did the, like, choking people out for the most part, which they tell you in the between stages text, you know, will lead to a less grim ending. So I went with that less grim approach. Yeah, cool. Dishonored is great. You should play that, man. I give that my solid recommendation.
I have a funny story about that game. I bought that months ago, but I actually feel so guilty about how I got it that I haven't played it yet.
How'd you get it?
Blockbuster.
Oh, gosh, you bought it, like, off their, like, We're Dying sale?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It was, like, their final 2 days or whatever, and it was, I think it was, like, 98% off or something. I paid, like, $2 for it, but I feel so guilty about, you know, picking their corpse that I haven't played it.
Well, you got your money's worth, that's for sure. Yeah, so Dishonored is awesome, and apart from that, playing some more Uncharted for the PS Vita, having a good time with that game. And of course, since it came out, Titanfall, 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 Titanfall on the Xbox One. Lives up to the hype. Great game. I can see, especially if you're like just a first-person shooter fanatic, buying the system for this game. I don't know if the average gamer who likes a variety of games necessarily would buy it just for this. But if anything so far is a system seller for the Xbox One, it's this. Because really, what else is there that's a system seller? And that kind of leads us into tonight's episode, where we're really going to be talking about system sellers, system sales, and really the early state of the console wars. We're at this early stage in the game, and a lot of people are, I think, already declaring this system dead, that one the winner, things are looking bad for this camp, you know, this camp's definitely going to come out ahead, and so on. So I thought we would just kind of give our own take on that and where we think things are going and what we think of all the sort of breathless reporting on the console wars that's been out there. So I guess, what are your opinions? We've read the same articles, basically all sorts of crazy, I won't say crazy, but a lot of speculation's been out there. You know, everybody's tracking the numbers obsessively. This system sold this many more units than that one, and so on. You know, if you compare lifetime to lifetime, the Wii U is doing better than the PS4, but then it's not. But then the Xbox is doing it. It's a lot of conflicting stuff, man. What do you think?
I don't think the generation's even begun yet. Maybe now that Titanfall is out, we can say it's actually started for one console. But name a next generation game for PS4.
Right. Everybody says that the new Infamous game is basically it. But what is their system seller so far, right?
But that's not even out yet, is it?
I think it's coming out like within the next couple weeks. It's coming out on the heels of Titanfall, probably not by accident.
Right.
Is that a system seller, or is that just like a system showcase game? Like, wow, look at what we can do.
I think that is their system seller, whether it's actually a system seller or not.
Right. It's the closest thing to an answer to Titanfall that they have right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think our memories are pretty short. This early, and you know, this generation's different because we've got head-to-head launches as opposed to last time when there was a little bit of a gap between each system's launch, you know? But people have short memories about system launches, man. I mean, last gen, when the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 and even the Wii came out, there was just crap for software for quite a while. I mean, it takes a while for things to ramp up, you know?
I don't think I ever told anyone this story. I was with kind of a non-gamer girlfriend when all of those came out. And her understanding of video games was, oh, you're a gamer, so you must like everything. Like, she didn't really get, you know, into it or anything like that. She tried. She did a good job. But, you know, she didn't get it. So I got my first Xbox 360 in May for my birthday. And that, when did that come out? That came out in, like, October, right? So, like, months down the line. And if I'm being honest with myself and with you now, honestly, I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh, wow, that was really expensive. Thanks. I don't, there's nothing to play. Oh.
Yeah, the software lineup just wasn't there, right?
Months after the release. Like, there was just nothing that even interested me. Like, I would not buy an Xbox One for Titanfall, but I'd play it. I'd definitely play the game. Like, I'm interested enough to play it if I had one.
Right, right.
So it's, as much as people are hating on it, it's still way ahead of the 360.
Yeah, I'm with you. I got my 360 probably 6 to 9 months after launch. And there must be some games out now. No, it was like the launch lineup plus a couple other kind of forgettable titles. I mean, there just wasn't a lot out there. And the PlayStation 3, as I recall, also had a pretty anemic launch, did it not? It did not launch with any, like, killer apps, did it?
I guess Uncharted.
Oh, was that a launch title?
I believe so.
That game, I would say pretty definitively was a system seller. I would put that up there with like a Gears of War or a new Halo game as a mover of systems. That is a great series. That's top tier. That's grade A. And Titanfall is of that caliber, I would say, but it is a first-person shooter, so its appeal is limited to the first-person shooter set. Now, I will grant you that I've got some friends who are not normally big FPS guys who are jazzed about Titanfall, who've gotten Titanfall, who are calling me to play Titanfall with me. So maybe it's enough to draw everybody in. I don't know. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who does call me when he's on his way home, like, hey, man, Titanfall tonight? And this is a guy that never would play an FPS. So
even if it doesn't cross boundaries, that's a pretty healthy market to go for.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So the numbers, as I understand them right now, is the PlayStation 4 is kind of the world leader. The Xbox One is doing very well in the U.S., but trailing the PlayStation, and then depending on who you listen to, closing the gap or not closing the gap or not allowing the gap to widen or whatever. And the Wii U is like dead in the water, and Nintendo's closing up shop, and it's the end of the world for them. I mean, that's at least the...
Despite their billions of cash.
Right. They've got like a gigantic war chest of cash, and like the only handheld out there. I mean, the PlayStation Vita, it's a great system. Sony does their best to compete. But the far and away dominant player in that space is Nintendo, right? So they've got a cash cow in that and a massive pile of cash. The Wii U's failure is not a death blow, right?
Well, possibly for the Wii U, but I don't think for Nintendo at all, no.
Right, I mean, I would go so far as to say, so rumors are swirling that Nintendo is going to release a new system and it's going to be kind of an off-cycle release, meaning once we're a few years down the road, but not quite to the point when the next round of consoles would be released, they're going to kind of pop out with their, what would in political terms be like an October surprise, like, haha, gotcha, and catch the other consoles with their pants down and have enough of a technological leap over them that people will be compelled to jump over to Nintendo, right? That's a combination of things I've read, wishful thinking on my part, and wishful thinking on the part of my Nintendo fanboy friends. Does that sound like a plausible thing to you?
Well, it's the latest rumor, but it sounds just about as plausible to me as them going software only, like everyone was saying, like a week ago.
Right. I mean, let's draw this comparison. Sega went software only because they were on the ropes. And, like, the Dreamcast was their last attempt to, like, make it big. You know what I mean? And I believe it was financed with debt.
Well, Sega went console only. Sega went software only because they just totally lost retailer support. They pissed off, like, every major retailer in the world.
Right. And so the Dreamcast was not well received. And, I mean, it was their last stab at it. They'd already really alienated the retailers with the failure that was the Saturn. And so they just were like, man, we'll try our best with the Dreamcast. And it was a kind of a long shot, and they went for it and they failed. So they went software only because they really didn't have a choice, right? And they didn't have a billion-dollar war chest.
I've always thought this was an excellent picture of why they had to give up. You and I probably shop Amazon. You and I probably shop GameStop. Sears did not carry Dreamcast. To the mass market, I think that's huge.
Right. A major department store retailer here in the U.S., Sears.
Did Walmart?
I don't remember. I know a lot of retailers did not because they were really sore about the Saturn, right?
I don't think Walmart did, which yeah. That's huge.
Right. We know at least a couple of major retailers did not carry them, and that is not good for Dreamcast. Nintendo, by contrast, does get their stuff on store shelves and has a massive amount of cash. And so the point I was going to try to make was, even if it's going to be a few years before they release the Super Wii or whatever they're going to call their next system, hopefully they just ditch the Wii name, I think Nintendo, to save face and to keep faith with retailers and their fans, will support the Wii U, even if it's a slight money loser, even if they're only breaking even, because Nintendo doesn't want to build the ill will Sega did, right?
No, I don't think they want to. You might be seeing the start of that. That's something that I think they do need to work on, but I don't think it's nearly as bad as Sega yet.
Nintendo can mend fences with retailers. Look, give us back, you know, here's a credit. You bought a lot of Wii U's. They didn't really move. Here's a sweetheart deal on the next system we're releasing. You know, they've got enough leverage in the market and enough money to sweeten deals that they can make nice with any retailers that feel wronged. You know what I mean?
Speaking of their cash, they could probably just actually buy them all back if they had to.
Right. I mean, if it came down to it, they could. Yeah, that's a good point. So I think it's way too early to think of Nintendo as going software only. Now, they've started advertising on iPhone, and I guess they're going to start doing some mobile development as well. But that's another business line for them. That's not them throwing in the towel on their core business just yet.
Right. That's kind of how they're going to finance their core business.
Right. Yeah. Supplement. Look, we want to keep the Wii going, so let's supplement it with other revenue streams. Let's not be silly about it. So, yeah, I'm not buying. I don't think we're going to see the next Mario game on the Xbox One or the PlayStation 4. You know, I don't think we're anywhere close to that. And I know we've talked about this in the past on other episodes. I don't understand the psychology of wanting to see one of these companies fail. Like, at the end of the day, that just means less choice for you as a consumer.
I know I beat up on the internet every once in a while, but I think this is a symptom of social removal. I think you start arguing with an anonymous figure on the internet or on boards or on NeoGAF or whatever, and you really start to identify whoever you're arguing with at the moment as like this entity that you're just opposed to. And then you're always opposed to it no matter what. Like, everybody is so stratified. I don't know one person who actually likes both consoles these days. God forbid you like all three.
Like me. I'm an all three guy. Like, there's three things that I like on offer. Since I happen to be lucky enough to have the money, I'll get all three. That's my thinking, you know? But some people, even if they can afford all three, pick one because of some loyalty, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, I picked one, but I don't, like, wish death and mayhem on the others, like.
Right, and I mean, you've got a job, you're an adult. If you wanted to, you could buy all three, but for you, the value in that just isn't there yet. But you're not, like, I've yet to hear you, like, cheerlead for the death of any other company because you've chosen the PS4.
X-Bone sucks. I never buy that crap.
Right, I mean, come on.
I don't like some of the stuff they're doing. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I'll buy one when they get rid of the $500 level, and I'll buy one when there are more than one game that I would actually play.
And you'll buy one when Hal is not invited into your living room to, like, spy on you, right?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I get enough of that.
Right. I mean, if I want to be spied on, I'll just make a cell phone call in America and have Obama, look over it from the White House. Just kidding, President Obama. We don't blame you entirely. okay, let's step away from wild speculation and crazy fandom and get into speculative numbers or sort of dubious figures that we've heard about. There have been a couple that have come out this week. One much reported figure is that in the wake of Titanfall in the UK, there's been like a 90 something percent boost in Xbox One sales, mostly packaged with Titanfall week over week. So if it's a system seller and the UK can be taken as a fair microcosm of, I guess, the West or whatever the Xbox One target market is, then Titanfall has succeeded as a system seller. It's curious. It's suspicious to me that we don't have U.S. figures to go with those U.K. figures.
Again, just to temper things, I would like to point out February was a real stinker for them. So 98% increase isn't really as impressive as that may sound.
Oh, so it's just they were selling nothing and now they sold like, right, they sold like two units.
So, well, no, I mean, they sold, I think, like, what was it, a million? Okay. So they're probably back up to like the 2 million or whatever, which is, you know, kind of where things should be, but like February was hard.
Okay, so if these numbers are indicative of a bump from Titanfall, all that does is get them back on track. It doesn't necessarily mean they're now nipping at Sony's heels.
Right.
Right, okay. So
Titanfall is still definitely a system seller, but that doesn't mean like, oh, they win.
Right, which is what, of course, a lot of slathering fanboys, I think, would say. So we have some evidence so far that Titanfall may be giving them a boost. Now, let's switch over to Sony and Nintendo, because they're part of this next kind of dubious set of numbers. You know, Sony hasn't launched their own system seller, infamous Second Son, just yet. So for the moment, and this is very troubling, there are big headlines all over the place. The Wii U is outselling the PS4! Oh no, wow, what does this mean? How could this be? Well, what they're really saying is that for the first few weeks of the PlayStation 4's life cycle, in Japan, mind you, it hasn't performed as well as the Wii U did. Which I think still means that the PlayStation 4 has probably sold more units than the Wii U. But they're saying weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4 or whatever in the PlayStation 4's life cycle have not been as impressive as those same weeks in the Wii U's launch cycle. I don't really know what you can read into that.
I have to preface this. I always preface this. I wish it were not true, because I am such a fan of Japan and such a fan of what it used to mean. But that's a tiny market. That doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right, right. You know, Japan used to have outsized influence because gaming and gaming culture were so big there relative to the U.S. You know, we've been gaming our whole life, but we were a smaller segment of the U.S. and the Western population when we were kids, right?
Yeah, now, I mean, we were still, like, freakish.
Right, right. Well, now these huge markets have opened up to gaming. So Japan, probably culturally, especially to, obviously, Japanese companies like Sony and Nintendo, is still important symbolically, I should say, rather than culturally. But now these huge markets outside of Japan matter more. And that's where the real war, such as it is won, I think, you know?
Right. I mean, I think UK and UK or US are probably the new Japan.
Right. So that being the case, the UK numbers may say something about Microsoft's position and Titanfall's position. These historical comparisons between two systems launched like 2 years apart in Japan are of a lot more dubious usefulness, I would say. They don't really inform in the same way. And it remains to be seen, of course, what the big post-launch flagship title Infamous will do for the PlayStation 4. I suspect they'll get a bump in sales too. At least they'll have more satisfied customers, as their customers can now buy this top tier game. You know, I think people are hungry for new games. We're outside of the immediate launch window. It's time for games to start coming out. So I think Infamous will sell very well indeed, because there's a lot of pent up demand, and it will probably boost the PlayStation 4 sales. That's my prediction, my unprofessional prediction. What do you think?
I think we will only see the sales for probably both systems, because unfortunately I don't consider the Wii U like a true next-gen contender.
Yeah.
I don't think Wii U is ever going to catch up. I don't think Wii U is ever going to be a leader. It'll probably be a great system. It'll probably turn out like the Wii, which was great for nostalgia gaming or for import gaming, because there's tons of killer JRPGs and real-time strategy games. Turn-based strategy games on it. It's a good system to own, but industry leader, no.
Okay.
But I don't think there's anywhere but up for either of the real systems to go.
The real systems. Yeah, I agree. Who knows who's going to be leading the way up, but I agree. We've only just scratched the surface of where these sales are going to go. And, you know, speaking of Nintendo, I have a Wii U. I wish Nintendo well. I want them to suddenly have a big renaissance and draw in a bunch of Wii U enthusiasts. I don't necessarily see the path to that. But let's go down the speculation road with Nintendo. Now, I read a Forbes article, so that it's good, because it came from Forbes, saying that yes, Nintendo's going to make another next gen console. They've pretty much said, yeah, we're not done. There's another console coming out. Don't you worry. And the author of this particular article speculated that it could be what I will call an off-cycle release, meaning, you know, 5 or 6 years into this 10-year life cycle that Sony and Microsoft are counting on, Nintendo will, as I mentioned before, pull out their October surprise. Ha-ha, here's the Wii U 2 or whatever. I hope they don't call it that. And they'll kind of really wallop the competition. Okay. It seems like that could happen. That's just as likely as the software-only route, right, as you said before.
Yeah, I think there's no evidence for anything right now.
By the way, you did say that while we were recording that in our pre-show conversation, right?
Believe so.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm going to edit that part out, so no problem. Yeah, so, you know, there's three kind of speculative pieces of information floating out there in the media, and they're fun to seize on and think about, but we don't know anything yet. We don't know, and we still don't. I would even go so far as to say we don't know if Nintendo can't still reposition the Wii U in such a way that they make up some of this sales gap, you know, even over the next so many years. I don't know how, but maybe they release some amazing Pokemon app or they get some exclusive rights to a game or something, you know, such that people really, really want a Wii U. That plus maybe some price concessions on their part. Who knows? They could make up some of this gap. I agree with you. They probably won't be in contention for the number one spot, though. And I think they're aware of that. Again, didn't they kind of revise their own projections for earnings recently?
Yeah. I think after that one vicious month where they made, like, I think 30% of their projections or something, they changed.
Yeah. So let's not count Nintendo out yet. I really want them to, like, go back to the drawing board and release, like, some really cool, innovative, powerful system that's more powerful than the PS4 and Xbox One, you know, before the PS5 and Xbox, I don't know, 1, 2? I don't know what they're going to call the next one come out. But we'll see. That's still a few years down the road. I don't think they're going to be doing any kind of move in the next year or two. At least that's my prediction. Speaking of year or two and beyond, let's kind of move into our final segment of tonight's episode, which is the future, where we see things going in this generation based on where we're sitting right now in this early post-launch period of time. I figure we would discuss two kind of... I figure we would talk about the future both in terms of technology, peripherals, development, that sort of thing for each of the consoles, and of course standing. So who's going to be first, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. when all the dust settles and this console generation comes to an end years down the road. So let's start with the tech stuff. You mentioned, I know the... Well, you know what? I'm not going to prime the pump at all. What do you see coming down the pike in terms of new technology?
New technology. Well, I do think that this weird VR/3D thing is going to be more prevalent.
So the Sony Morpheus project and maybe items like the Oculus Rift, which is, a competitor.
There's a lot of excitement about that. Like, I know some people are like, oh, I don't want to wear that stupid helmet. I know there's a lot of hate for it, especially for people who remember the 80s idea of VR.
Yeah.
I really think that kind of immersion is probably the next big step.
I will say that I was with those people. I don't want to wear a stupid thing on my head until I tried the Oculus Rift at PAX last year. And wow, I just want to wear that thing on my head all the time. It's really, really cool, man. And if the Sony thing comes even close to that, that's a pretty big selling point for the PS4. And that is something I think Microsoft would have to answer.
I will mention this just because I'm such a huge fan of it. And because whatever happened to it, if it's not the immersion of wearing 360, rephrase that. If it's not the immersion of wearing 360 degrees goggles, it'll be the promised immersion of like Illumiroom or projectors or something like that.
Yeah, you touched on a very important point here. What happened to Illumiroom? I really liked the idea of just surrounding you with the game's ambiance. You know what I mean? And it was an effect. I won't call it simple, but it was basically projecting how else can I put it? The ambiance of the game you're playing into the room all around you. So if you're in a woods, suddenly you'd be surrounded by foliage. Like your whole room would be green and leafy, right?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily the whole room, I think, but like viewable arc at least.
I mean, I think that would be awesome. I'm really surprised we haven't heard more about that. Now that's not so much VR as it is. It's almost a form of augmented or
AR.
Yeah, an augmented reality or a reskinned reality where you're projecting the game elements into your environment. And that demo video that they put out for Illumiroom was very promising, and I really hope we see something like that in addition to or instead of or as an alternative to the headsets, you know? Good point, man. Good point. Now, what I've read is that this Sony VR headset is going to somehow work in conjunction with the camera, you know, the Sony Eye or whatever the new camera is called, and other technologies to sort of give you the, I guess, to enhance the experience. We know that Microsoft has really put a lot of investment into the whole Kinect thing, which is sort of their camera and their alternative input scheme. Would VR or VR goggles or Illumiroom or some form of immersion, to use that not quite as popular as it used to be buzzword, be the thing that makes Kinect viable or compelling?
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I think the thing that bothers me most about Kinect is that it's just not, again, in my opinion, you know, I'm sure I don't want to speak for them, but it's not about gaming. Like, so if they come out with something that makes it more about gaming and their Kinect is better than the PlayStation Eye or whatever, yeah, it might give them a head start.
Okay, so we could see it about gaming again. Right, because I find it to be a technology set in need of an application. And that's the case for all of the gimmicky control inputs. Even the Wii U's waggle controls. I hate to use that term waggle. It's like somebody else's term. But even that, once you got past the novelty of it, seemed like it was begging for an application that didn't suck. And I don't know that they ever found that. So maybe the addition of a very compelling sensory experience will be the key to make these alternative control schemes work, because they just don't seem to work on a flat screen for me. You know what I mean? Like, a controller suffices for that environment. And I guess that's really all I can say. You know, right now I think the controller beats anything, the standard controller. And I until the play field changes, until we're sucked into the play field, I'm not sure these other input methods have a place yet.
If you combine Kinect and, I guess, Oculus Rift is on their side, right?
Oculus Rift is an independent technology, but it's not inconceivable that Microsoft could be like, oh, yeah, we'll take this off-the-shelf solution to compete with this new Sony VR.
If they're combined to let me, you know, pretend to hold a gun or pretend to draw a bow or to pretend to swing a sword, I'd be pretty excited about it. If they combine to let me change channels on a cable box, I'm just not interested. I just don't care. I mean, that is right. Not a problem that needs solving in my life.
Right. I mean, like, I'm thinking, because I want the tactile feedback, absent Ready Player One style haptic feedback gloves, give me simulacrux of a gun, you know, something that feels like a gun in my hand. And then when I've got the headset on, I look down and I see a Halo gun or a World War II era gun or a bow and arrow or whatever's appropriate for the game. Does that make sense? Something like that? So I get a generic handheld weapon or sword or what have you, and the game paints the graphics onto it for me through VR.
Yeah.
Or
all of those cheesy add-ons for, like, the Wiimotes and everything. Nothing but, like, 50 cent made in China plastic, but all of a sudden your little Wiimote was a gun or a sword or a steering wheel. Those were kind of my favorite parts of it.
Yeah, the Epic Mickey paintbrush was really cool for the Wii.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, now that gets painted on through the power of VR, man. That'd be kind of cool. By the way, Brian, grammar check. Did I use Simulcrux correctly? Because I'm kind of proud if I did.
Correctly enough for me. I wouldn't want to speak as an authority on that one word. But
well, you're the Nerdstravaganza's resident authority on grammar, so we're going to go with it. I'm not editing it out. But yeah, man, I think we finally are going to see the final piece fall into place here, and we're going to have the suck me into the world experience that we've all been waiting for since Sega was, you know, predicting that they were going to make a VR goggle system for like the 32X or something back in 1991 or whatever it was. Whew, so ambitious back then, but the technology just wasn't there. So anything else besides basically VR, Illuma Room, that kind of stuff, sort of basically environmental gaming, let's call it?
As far as straight up new technology?
Yeah.
Nothing that I can think of.
That's really all I can see on the horizon, too. We've done every kind of alternate controller input gimmick we could come up with, so now we got to complement that with the visuals and the audio-visual experience. As you call it, the holodeck experience, right?
Yeah, I think we won't have the Star Trek holodeck, but I think we'll be very, very close.
We're getting closer. We're getting closer to the reality where mankind ceases to exist because men and women don't go meet each other anymore because they can just live in the virtual world where everybody's awesome. All right, so before we get to that horrible virtual world, we've still got a console generation to get through. This might be the last one before humanity collapses due to its own lethargy brought about by superior technology. But let's make some predictions. What do you think as far as who's going to come in first, second, third, fourth, fifth, any disruptive new players entering the market, anything along those lines? When we come to the end of this console generation and we tally up the numbers, who's standing on the podium and getting what medals?
I will make an interesting prediction. I mean, I'm sure everyone else has seen the stories too, but I just have a strange feeling about this. I think Amazon's going to be number one.
Amazon?
I think Amazon's going to buy the Xbox One brand.
Wow. Wow. So Microsoft like exits the thing and sells to Amazon.
And think of how perfect Amazon and Amazon Prime with all of the streaming services and everything are for what is currently Kinect.
Right. So you get all the digital content Amazon has to stream to the Xbox. Do they launch like a Steam-like system for games, I guess, too? Or do they just take the infrastructure that Microsoft already has for the online store?
They'll just use Live.
Right.
And that camera will be recording every single thing in your home for recommendations on what you should buy next.
Oh, God. I see you had a box of donuts on the counter. Maybe you'd like this flavor. That's scary, man. That's way too big, brother, for me. And then a drone shows up with the donuts. Here, just try them.
Yeah.
I really don't like that.
It's a great fit, and I just kind of think Amazon is moving in that direction. They're trying a lot of new frontiers. And, wow. You know, Microsoft may or may not want to get out of the console market, especially with the new people coming on board. I can see that happening.
Wow, yeah, you know, Microsoft just sells it to them. It's like, hey, this is your perfect, like, never mind analyzing their spending habits. Just scan their room and see what they like and market to them directly.
Have you seen the mock-up of that Amazon controller?
No. Is that a hoax? I mean, what do you mean a controller?
There's a, I guess it's to be determined if it's a hoax or not, but it's a console controller, Amazon branded, floating around.
Wow.
And you should pause right now and Google that. Look at what buttons are on it.
All right, one second. I'm looking up the Amazon controller right now. Okay, just a little image search, and the Amazon controller has a lot in common with the Xbox controller, and its layout and its buttons, does it not? It even has the little menu stuff.
Yeah.
And the home button. Oh, boy.
I mean, it could be a good hoax, but...
It could just be a hoax, or, you know, or Amazon could be prepared to launch a Steam Box, which is a machine that is basically a console-ized computer for the playing of Steam games, or they could do a partnership with Microsoft, or... I'm hoping hoax, because that's just too disruptive, man. I don't know if I can take that. But an interesting thought. So, nevertheless, could you see a company like Amazon entering the market in some capacity?
Unless that happens, I'm not so sure. And certainly not doing as well if that doesn't happen. Maybe third place.
Okay, so you've got them in there in some place. And then what about the existing vendors? Who do you see coming in first, second, third out of them?
Well, again, if that happens, I see Xbox / Amazon being one and Sony being number two. Probably actually Steam being number three. I think that'll outsell Wii U eventually.
I like that. I like including Steam as a gaming platform. We generally classify PC gamers as outside of the console gaming space, but with these sort of console-ized Steam boxes coming out, now Steam is kind of a console player, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're releasing set-top boxes.
Right.
With, you know, no drivers, no this, no that. Well, at least not, you know, transparent drivers. I mean, I know they exist there, but you don't have to worry about it.
I like the way we're thinking. I think for mine, I'm going to more or less go the same. I'm going to be a little more conservative. I'm going to see Sony coming out on top as the number one console vendor. I'm going to see Microsoft coming in second. And then, like, the third, fourth, and fifth positions, barring a disruptive mid-cycle console launch by Nintendo, being occupied by some combination of, you know, the Steam consortium of console-ized computer manufacturers, and maybe Apple somehow gets into the console game. I don't know why. I just always... entertain in my mind the specter of Apple wading into this battlefield and Nintendo somewhere in that mix. So there's sort of an amorphous cloud of possibility there. So that was barring Nintendo launching that disruptive next-gen system. If they launch that disruptive next-gen system enough for the numbers to kind of be impressive by the end of this generation, they might take the number two spot, you know, if it's some just world-beating system that everyone's just got to have. Though I find that unlikely. I'm going to confidently say that I think Sony's going to win this round. And this is so early that I'm going to seem like a fool a few years from now when we listen to this.
I would be with you 100% if I didn't think Amazon was going to... And I don't even think it'll be a game console. I think the Amazon system will outsell because, you know, your mom buys three copies for their living room or whatever.
Man, if Amazon really partners with Microsoft or something, that's huge. That's massive, man. I mean, their distribution system, their clout, you know, all the exclusive deals they can broker and everything. Man, that could be massive.
And, I mean, just think of how awesome it'd be, like, all those movies and the power to expand that.
Basically, think of how awesome it would be to have, like, Red Dwarf on tap all the time on your console. Because I do believe that's where I watch my Red Dwarfs on Amazon streaming. For me, that's a true system seller. Well, there you have it. We have made our own largely uninformed and based on speculation predictions for the outcome of this console war, about which, at the end of the day, I care very little, and I think you care very little as well, right, Brian?
Yeah, I kind of do. I mean, I love the one system I have, and I love its online services, and when I come to love its competitors, I'll buy them too. I mean,
right. I mean, as long as I have fun games to play at the end of the day, I don't really care. I mean, we grew up in the NES era when Atari was basically a ruin and Nintendo was a monopoly and we had a hell of a time. We probably paid way more for those games than we otherwise would have, but we didn't know any better. And I have fond memories of playing the games nevertheless. So as long as I have games to play, hopefully at a reasonable price, I'm happy.
I remember the then outrageous price of $34.99 for my Rygar for NES.
Yeah, I wonder what that is in today's dollars. So that's probably like $89.99. So, you know, Nintendo really, they kind of screwed us probably, but oh well. Well, with the episode now more or less brought to an end, I'll tell you what won't screw you, listeners. The Nerd Extravaganza podcast won't screw you. We promise to deliver a quality product to you week after week. And all we ask in return is that you subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever pod-catching software you happen to use. Give us a listen on Stitcher and review us favorably on any of those outlets.
Join us on all the social media outlets. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Google+, and join our secret nerd society on our private little Facebook group.
And of course, check out our website at nerdstravaganza.com and drop us an email if you so desire at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com. With all that self-promotion out of the way, we wish you a happy, healthy console war.